The pasuk says in Yeshaya, Perek Chav Ches, pasuk Chav Tes, Gam Zos Miima Hashem Tzvakos Yatzaah. That this prophecy also issued forth from Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hifli Eitzo, it's a wonderful piece of advice. Higdil Tushia, this prophecy is going to spread the Torah. Now, the Gemara Sanhedrin of Chavavim Beis observes that the pasuk here uses a very unique term with reference to the Torah. It calls the Torah Tushia. It says, Higdil Tushia, that this prophecy is going to cause the Torah to spread. And the question is, what is the etymology of the word Tushia? How does the word Tushia refer to the Torah? So the Gemara brings Rav Chanan, who says that the word Tushia comes from the word Tush. Tush means to weaken, it means to make feeble. That the Torah is called Tushia because Torah matesh es kocho shel adam. That the Torah, when a person is osik in Torah, it causes him to become weak. Person becomes feeble. And so it's called Tushia, this phenomenon that makes you weak, because the Torah is matesh es kocho shel adam. Torah makes a person weak. That's the principle stated by this Gemara. I saw in the back of the Sifta, they brought some mafarish who uses this to explain one of the Zemiros on Shabbos, in Yom Shavuoson. So this is one of the stanzas, if you follow the flow of it, doesn't actually flow properly. We say, Uvo chulam bivriz yachad, nase v'nishma omru ke'echad. So we're describing Matan Torah here, and they came together bivriz yachad for the bris of Kabbalah Satorah, and nase v'nishma omru ke'echad, and they unanimously declared nase v'nishma, Upaschu v'yomra Hashem Echad, and they said the Yichud of HaKadosh Baruch. So the first three parts of this stanza are all just describing the events of Matan Torah. And then, the last part of the stanza is, Baruch HaNosein LaYoyev Koach. Blessed is he, with a capital H, who gives strength to those who are weak. Question is, what does the Seifa have to do with the Reisha here? We're first describing Matan Torah, and then we end off by blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving strength to those who are weak. Baruch HaNosein LaYoyev Koach. Question is, what's the flow here in this Zemer? So they explain that it's based on this principle of Torah Mateshes Kochel Shaladin, that Torah causes a person to become weak. Now, when did this phenomenon enter the world? When did this new reality come into being? So on a mass scale, it came into effect at the time of Matan Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael. So this new reality set in that people are going to be weak. And so after describing the events of Matan Torah, which are going to cause us to become weak, we conclude by saying, Baruch HaNos and Le'ev Koach, at least HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us the strength to persevere despite the fact that we're going to be weak. So that's just an interesting pshat based on this idea. Now the question becomes, how do you understand this principle of Torah Mateshes Kochel Shel Adam? What does it mean that Torah makes a person weak? In what sense does Torah cause a person to lose his strength? So the pashat pshat is to understand that, as we all know, real limud Torah requires physical exertion. Person has to shvitz over a sugya, and if you learn Torah properly and you're really exerting yourself, so that could zap a person of his strength. The person stays up a little bit late, maybe he doesn't eat as much as he should, not that we're Chas V'Shalom advocating that, but if a person pushes himself too far, so it can cause a person to become weak. And Torah matesh is kochel shel adam. That would be the pashat pshat behind this principle. The amelus b'Torah causes a person to become weak. Once again, not advocating this. Not even off the recording this time. Fine. But there are two problems with this simple understanding of this principle. The first problem with this Pashup Shat Havana in this principle is that we simply find that it's not the case in Chazal. But there are many instances throughout Chazal where, despite the fact that they were certainly the epitome of amelus b'Torah, but they also sometimes had great physical strength. We find that Chazal had great physical strength. Just to give a very simple example, 2 weeks ago, with the parsha of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is going towards the house of Lavan, and as he's heading towards Lavan, he stops by the well, and he sees these shepherds that are just sitting there doing nothing. So Yaakov Avinu asks them, he says, why are you just sitting here idly? And they say that there's this big rock on top of this well. We can't get the rock off the well. So we have nothing to do, we're just sitting here. So the psukim go on to describe that when Rachel shows up, Yaakov walks over to the well and single-handedly takes the rock right off the well and moves it by himself. And Rashi is medayik from the Lashon of the Pasuk there. Rashi says that when Yaakov took the rock off the well single-handedly, it was like taking a bottle cap off of the bottle. that he was so strong that it was like a breeze. It was nothing doing. He just took it off, right off the well. Lahodichan shekocho gadol, Rashi says, that we see from here, Yaakov had great physical strength. Now, when did this event take place? When did Yaakov display this great feat of strength? Right after spending 14 years in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Eber. For 14 years, he learned Pasmada Rabba. Chazal say he didn't even sleep in a bed. For 14 years, he took a base nap. He didn't sleep in the bed. And after 14 years of learning about Melas Rabba, the first thing he does is he single-handedly takes a rock off of a well. Now, if there's any person that we would expect to be learning, you know, to be subject to this principle, this is new principle that learning Ba'amelas zaps you of your strength and you become a weakling. So Yaakov Avinu, the paradigm, the Av that represents the Torah, he for 14 years, he wasn't zapped of his strength. What happened to the principle of Torah Mateshes Kochel Shalatim? Why is he not a weakling? Fine, so that's kasha number one. The second problem with the Pashup Shah behind this principle is based off of Gemara Bava Metzia on Pei Dalet Amud Aleph. Gemara Bava Metzia there discusses the beginnings of the Amora Reish Lakish. The great Amora Reish Lakish was the associate, call it, the Talmud Chavir of Rabbi Yochanan. And throughout the Shas, you don't go through too many Dapim without seeing Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. And the Gemara describes the beginnings of Reish Lakish. So the Gemara says that originally, Reish Lakish was the head of a band of thieves. He was the head bandit in a gang. And one day, Rabbi Yochanan was taking a bath in a river. And Reish Lakish was in the area. And he also decided to take a bath. So he took a huge leap into the river, Mara says. A tremendous feat of strength, a tremendous leap into the river right by Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan sees this. And he says, Chelecha l'raisa, that your great strength should be used for Torah. You should use your strength for Torah learning. So Reish Lakish responds to Rabbi Yochanan that your good looks should be used for pursuing women. That Rabbi Yochanan was a very good-looking person. And Reish Lakish responded that your good looks should be used for pursuing women. So Rabbi Yochanan responds that I have a sister who's even better looking than I am. And if you accept upon yourself learning Torah, so I'll give you my sister, you can marry her. And he accepted the deal, and the rest is history. He became the great Reish Lakish. Now, the Gemara says that at the end of the incident, after Reish Lakish accepted this proposal, he tried jumping back out of the river. And usually, this big, strong person, he leaped right out. This time, he lost his strength, the Gemara says. He tried jumping out, he couldn't do it anymore. Rashi says, why did he lose his ability to jump out of the river? Because Torah matesh is kochol shel adam, that once he accepted upon himself the yoke of learning Torah, he became weakened, he became enfeebled, and he lost his ability, that old ability that he used to have to jump around, he just lost it, he couldn't jump out of the river. That's the Gemara there in Bava Metzia. Now, the question becomes, if we go with the Pashup Shat upon this principle that there's this new rule, that when you learn Torah Ba'amelis, you become a weakling, you lose your strength because you harvest so much over a sugya, your physical strength gets zapped, well, that should only kick in once you actually start learning. But in this case, Reish Lakish, he didn't start learning yet. He just accepted this proposal, and that was it. He didn't start learning Ba'amelis. So why did he lose his strength? If there's this new rule that the reason you lose your strength is because of the fact that you invested yourself in your learning, he didn't start learning yet. So why did he lose his physical strength? So those are the two kashas on the Pashup Shat. You know, if we're going to say this new rule that you just lose your strength because you invested yourself in your learning, so how come we find it's not true? Chazal many times had great physical strength. And second of all, how come Reish Lakish lost his strength when he didn't even start learning yet? Just as soon as he accepted this proposal, he lost his abilities. So because of these kashas, there's a pretty solid need to come up with a new trap behind this principle. What does it mean to say a person loses his strength when he learns Torah? Torah matesh is kochol shaladim. So Rav Yitzchak Yosef, and there's a Sefer Chochmas HaMatzvon, they both give the same explanation behind this principle, a very beautiful explanation to explain what's going on here. They give a mashal, which I'll just modify to give you my Havana. They say like this. Imagine you have a child comes home from school. After a long day in school, he has a dual curriculum. And when he comes in the house, so his parent instructs him to do a chore, to go take out the garbage. So the child says, I'm too tired, I'm too weak, I don't have the strength to do it. So then the parent says to the child, we're going for Slurpees to 7-Eleven. All of a sudden, he perks up. He's the first one in the car. Now, when you first tell that child that we're going to, I want you to do a chore. You ask the kid to do a chore. He says, I'm too tired. He's not lying. He's telling the absolute truth. He feels exhausted, and he's not up to doing the chore. Because when a person is not motivated to do something, you have very little strength to do it. You know, after a long day in school, when you're taka tired, and you're asked to do something you don't want to do, so you find you have very little strength to do it. A person is not motivated to do something that he doesn't enjoy. Says Rav Yitzchak Yosef and Chachmas HaMatzvon, that's the pshat on the principle of Torah Mateshet Kochel Shel Adam. There's no rule that if a person learns Torah, he's going to become a weakling, that he's going to lose his physical strength. That's not the pshat. The pshat is that when a person starts to appreciate the value of Limud Torah, when a person starts to tap into the sweetness of learning Torah, the Mesikas HaTorah, you reach a point where everything aside from learning is a chore. You don't want to do anything except for learn. And so you become unmotivated when it comes to everything else but learning. So you lose your strength because any person has a very limited reservoir of strength when it comes to things you're not motivated to do. Torah Mateshes Kochel Shel Adam, when a person starts appreciating the value of Limud Torah, the Geshmak kind of learning, you start, to the extent that you appreciate Limud Torah, you start viewing other things as a chore, you lose your motivation, your strength to do other things. So that's the pshat behind the two kashas on the Pasha pshat. In terms of how do we find a chazal had great physical strength, Yaakov Avinu, after 14 years of learning, took a rack off of a well. The answer is that there's no rule that you're going to be a weakling when you invest yourself in your learning and you physically exert yourself. You can be very strong. The pshat is that, typically speaking, a person who appreciates the chashivas of Torah is not going to have the motivation to do other things, and he's going to find very limited resources, very limited reservoirs of strength to do other things. But if Avodah Hashem dictates to do something else, so then a person can have strength to do it. In that situation, Yaakov assessed, the Avodah Hashem dictated taking the rock off the well, so he had the strength to do it. He took the rock right off the well. In terms of the second kasha with Reish Lakish, how did Reish Lakish lose his ability after accepting this proposal from Rabbi Yochanan? How did he lose his physical strength? He didn't even start learning. The pshat is, once again, that the weakness isn't a function of the amelus b'torah. That's not why a person becomes weak. The weakness is a function of a person's priorities. If a person appreciates the significance, the importance, the priority of Limud Torah, so a person loses his motivation for other aspects of life and he doesn't find strength to do it anymore. And that back and forth between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, the Maharsha already reads in more depth, there was more profundity to the back and forth between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And when Rabbi Yochanan said that statement to Reish Lakish, he struck a chord in Reish Lakish. He realized that he was wasting away his life. He was spending his life on Nourishkeit, being a highway robber. And at that point, he had a trajectory change in life. His priorities changed. He realized that he missed the whole boat and he has to change his trajectory in life. And so Torah Mateshes Kochel Shel Adam, once he got his priorities straight, he was great enough that in a small conversation he can change his whole trajectory. He didn't have the same zest for what used to be Geshmak a few minutes ago. His jumping and all of his physical pursuits as being a highway robber wasn't Geshmak anymore. And so he tried jumping out, but he couldn't do it because he wasn't motivated. His whole life perspective changed. That's the pshat behind Torah Mateshes Kochel Shel Adam. The Sefer Chachmas HaMatzvon, he emphasizes a beautiful outflow of this principle. If we go back to our mashal, so we have this parent who tells the child to do a chore right after a long day at work, and the child says, I don't have strength to do it. And then the parent tells the child, we're going to 7-Eleven for Slurpees, and he perks up and he has the koach to do it. So Torah Mateshes Kochel Shel Adam was emphasizing the first part of the mashal, that if you're unmotivated to do something, you're going to find very limited strength. If you're tired, you're exhausted, you're not going to be able to push through if you don't want to do it. But there's a second part to the principle, which is the second part of the mashal, that when you are finding something geshmak, when you are motivated to do something, you find in yourself reservoirs of strength that you never realized that you had. That if something's geshmak and unbelievable, so you find that taka can run on less fuel than you thought you needed. And after a long day of school, you can just have the koach to be the first one in the car, shotgun, to go to 7-Eleven. And so if a person appreciates the geshmak kind of learning, the Mesikas HaTorah, how valuable Torah is, aside from the fact that he's going to lose the strength to learn to do other pursuits, he's going to find himself that he's going to have even more strength to invest in his learning. He's going to find kochos and powers that he had that he never realized that he had. You know, a person in high school, when you think about Shavuos, learning the entire night, it's an overwhelming idea. The entire night learning, like, what's going to be? And then you go to Eretz Yisrael, and you start realizing that, like, morning Seder in some yeshivas is 3 hours, plus, you know, shir followed by morning Seder is an hour, hour and 15 before lunch, 4 hours and 15 minutes. And so Shavuos becomes a really long morning Seder. Now, it's still difficult. It's still a big tircha, you know, rightfully so. You're all transitioning from high school. But as you move on, you progress and you're learning, it becomes, okay, like, you sit down for a Seder with your chavrusa and you pop your head up and it's time for Alos HaShach. That's the beauty of Torah Mateshes, Kochel Shel Adam. There's an Aruch Chaim HaKadosh who has a beautiful pshat that illustrates this beautiful concept. The Torah in Parshas Bilam, when Bilam is giving the brachos to Klal Yisrael, so in Perakhaval Pasuk Chav Gimel, he gives the bracha, he says, Lo hibit oven b'Yakov, v'lora amol b'Yisrael. That the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Lo hibit oven b'Yakov, he doesn't see avera, he doesn't see iniquity in Klal Yisrael, v'lora amol b'Yisrael, he doesn't see amol in Yisrael. Now what is the second part of this bracha, what does it mean? That Hashem lo ra amol b'Yisrael. So if you look at Rashi and the Aruch Chaim there, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, they have different explanations for the second bracha here. But in one pshat, so the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh there says a very beautiful explanation of this bracha. He says that the term amol in this phrase, lo ra amol b'Yisrael, means it's coming from the lashon of amelis, of exertion. Lo ra amol b'Yisrael, Hashem's not going to see amelis, he's not going to see exertion in Klal Yisrael. What's the pshat? What does it mean Hashem's not going to see exertion in Klal Yisrael? So he says there that what Bilam is saying is that the tzaddikim in Klal Yisrael reach a madrega in their learning, that they have such a geshmak in their learning that they don't even realize that they're being amol. That although from an outsider's perspective it looks like they're exerting themselves and they're schwitzing over a sugya, but when an outsider sees them, l'ra amol b'Yisrael, they don't feel the amelus. You know, although the outsider sees the amelus, they're not going to feel the amelus. L'ra amol b'Yisrael. The mashal l'ma davar doma to this Aruch Chaim HaKadosh is you have these people who are very into working out in the gym. They like to pump some iron, and they're working on weights. And an outsider sees what they're doing, and they're pushing their muscles to the limit. They're breaking muscle here, and they're trying to push themselves as far as they could possibly go. And to an outsider, it looks like they're under a tremendous amount of stress, more than a midterm. Look at this guy; he's pushing himself to the physical limit here when he's picking up these metal bars. But if you ask the guy about what's really taking place, he'll tell you that it's the most geschmack thing in the world. The exercising is not just the result of having big muscles, that's geschmack. The process itself is geschmack. The exertion, once you get into the groove and the rhythm, the process itself, the physical exertion itself, is geschmack. And so l'ra amol b'Yisrael means that when a person really taps into learning, so the physical exertion itself becomes like that guy working out. It's geshmak. There's nothing better than a 3-hour Seder and a Shver B'chaim. That's the lo ra amol b'Yisrael. I just want to end with a story about Shmuel Birnbaum. Shmuel Birnbaum was Rosh Shiva of Mir in Brooklyn. We can call him Rav Nachum Pertzavis' Chavruso, but it's not fair to Shmuel to call him that because he was Shmuel Birnbaum. He was a Rosh Shiva of Mir Brooklyn. He doesn't need to be called Rav Nachum Pertzavis' Chavruso. And he was famous. Most of the stories about Reb Shmuel revolve around his avas haTorah. He had an unbelievable fire for learning Torah, and the stories you hear about him are remarkable. So I just want to share one story about Reb Shmuel Birnbaum's avas haTorah. There was once a group of askanim who were running a certain organization that ran afoul of Reb Shach. Reb Shach was the gadol dor in Eretz Yisrael, and he didn't just sit and learn. I mean, he sat and learned for 23 hours a day, but for the last 5 minutes a day, when he wasn't learning, so he also took a part in all the askanas of Klal Yisrael in giving Eitzah and Hadracha to all the different aspects of Klal Yisrael. And not to Chas HaShalom say anything negative to any Gedolim, but don't do that. That's what Reb Shach did. And there was a certain organization that did something that apparently bothered Reb Shach. And they felt, the askanim behind the organization felt a need to make amends. And so they felt that Reb Shmuel Birnbaum would be the right intermediary. They went to him and they asked him if he could intercede on their behalf and just explain where they were coming from, just to help Rav Shach appreciate where they were coming from, so that they could just fix things up with Rav Shach. So Rav Shmuel agreed. He agreed to do it. They set a time for a meeting. They were going to have a sit around the table, have a conference phone call, and he'd call with them there and discuss the issue with Rav Shach. So the time for the meeting came, and the askan, they came down to the yeshiva, and they came to Rav Shmuel's office, and he was speaking to a bachur in learning. So they tried waiting patiently, but the time started carrying on. And we're talking here about spitzy businessmen, you know, these people who pencil you in for 20 minutes in their busy schedule. They made a precise, you know, meeting time to meet with Rav Shmuel for 20, 30 minutes and then to get back to their work. And they didn't have time for this. So after time just started dragging on, they politely decided one guy's got to knock on the door and just tell Rav Shmuel that we're here. So one guy knocks on the door and he just very politely says to the Rosh Yeshiva that we're ready for the meeting. And Rav Shmuel says, of course, just give me a few more minutes, let me finish up. So he finishes up a few minutes later, and he comes out. And they go to whatever room they're going to have this meeting in, they have the phone on the table, and we have these businessmen around this shpitzy table like this, and you know, these high-class businessmen are sitting around this table, and Rav Shmuel Birnbaum is at the front of the table with the phone on the table. And it's a very epic moment. They're very nervous what's going to be. Hopefully, Rav Shach will accept, you know, what they say, what Rav Shmuel says, and they'll just fix things with the Gadol Hador here. And Rav Shmuel makes the phone call. He dials the number for Rav Shach on speaker, rings across, rings a few times, and Rav Shach picks up. So Rav Shach, you know, and Rav Shmuel, they introduce themselves. They knew each other already. There was a pleasantries. They exchanged the pleasantries. And then, you know, everyone there is very nervous. And Rav Shmuel says to Rav Shach, we're sitting here in the middle of a difficult sugya in Bava Basra. And there's a Shver Rashbam that we just don't understand. And he starts articulating a kasha on the Rashbam in Bava Basra in the middle of this meeting. Now, these businessmen have no idea what in the world just happened. They have 10 minutes left to make it back to their work. And Rav Shmuel Birnbaum is in the middle of articulating a kasha on a Rashbam and Bava Basra to Rav Shach. And he finishes the kasha, and Rav Shach gives him an answer. And Rav Shmuel attacks Rav Shach's answer. And Rav Shach attacks right back. And they start this rischa deraisa on the phone, fighting each other like lions, while the businessmen are just sitting there, and they just literally have no idea what in the world is happening. And they're trying to be patient to wait for Rav Shmuel to get to the issue. Okay, let him finish the kasha so we can get to our issue. And they're just going at it on the phone. They're fighting each other, rise and kashas. The diak and Rashi, the Rashbam, is it a good diak? Is it not a good diak? And they're continuing on. Finally, they start resolving the issue. Rav Shmuel winds down. He says, thank you very much, Rosh Yeshiva. And he hangs up the phone. He looks around the table, and they're all just staring at him. Like, he's an alien. Like, what just took place? And he immediately realizes what just took place. And he says, I can't believe it. I'm so sorry. I had him on the phone. I was bothered by the sugya. I just had to ask him, and I got lost in the sugya, and I just totally forgot why I called him. That was the Avzat Torah of Shmuel Birnbaum. Lo ra amol b'Yisrael. Your whole focus in life is limud Torah, and everything else is just peripheral. It's just the hechitimsa to get back to the base medrash and to support yourself. So you get back to the base medrash. So everyone should have a wonderful night. A Freilich and Chanukah, I guess we'll call it. A Lichta Chanukah. Shkayach. Shkayach. Okay.